Good morning, Park Church, on a cool and damp morning, and it'll be warm in here as we gather and consider God's Word together. Reagan, thank you for the beautiful prayer. It's an opportunity that we have to come before God together, and it's an opportunity we have to engage our children in more deeply, too, is the very process and privilege of prayer. My name's Tom. If we haven't met, privileged to serve as one of the pastors here with you. And we're in a relationship series on Sunday mornings right now. We're turning to God's Word as we live out this thing that we're really made for. We've looked at God Himself is really fundamentally a relational God, and He's designed us really at the core for relationship with Himself and with others. And we know that, right? And so we've considered marriage and singleness, and last week friendship. Today and next Sunday, I want to look with you on the subject of parenting. Now, if you're not a parent and you're here today, I'm glad about that, because what we're going to be talking about, it doesn't only apply to those of you who are parenting children. It really applies to all of us. You're either, most of you have parents, if you aren't parenting, and all of us have influence in one way or another with children. And so what we'll talk about today is certainly pertinent to parenting, but also pertinent to all of us in the community of faith as we have the opportunity to influence the lives of children. We'll look at a key Old Testament passage today about this, and next Sunday, what I'd suggest is probably the key New Testament passage about parenting. And that's what we'll hope to do. And I'm going to invite you to turn. I don't know what you'd pick if you were to go to the Bible on parenting and influencing children, but one of the great parts of the Bible, if you were in God's family, the nation of Israel some years ago, before Christ, they knew this. And they lived this, purpose to want to live this way. So we'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you're kind of new to the Bible, it's about this deep in, you know, like you go about this far back. So find it in the Bible on your device, or if you can, the words will be up here. But we'll look together at Deuteronomy chapter 6. This comes right after God's people are given what we know is the Ten Commandments. Like most of us have heard about that, right? And so that's the context, and it goes this way, Deuteronomy 6. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, the ordinances, that the Lord your God charged me, referring to Moses, to teach you, referring to God's people, to observe in the land you're about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life, and keep all of His decrees and commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. That doesn't mean difficult, painful, crazy long, but beautiful, abundantly long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. So you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them. That word can mean repeat. I like the translation like impress. Impress upon your children, and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away and when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind these commandments, bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Interesting passage of God's word to us, right? So children are mentioned again and again here. When we think about influencing our children as parents or grandparents or teachers or aunts or uncles, I wanted to start off with we have at least a couple problems. So could we go there first? Like, well, what's our problem? Because we would admit, like, we don't know how to fully influence our children well. I didn't, and I'm still very much learning, and I'm gonna guess that you are too. One of our problems, one suggests, is that we really have kind of a lack of vision. We're not sure what we wanna look at or see or go for. Like, if I were to go around the room today, parents especially, grandparents, others of you who influence children, what's your hope? What's your vision? Where do you want this to go for your kids? We'd get a lot of different answers. Well, this part of God's word speaks to that. We'll go there a little bit later this morning, but I want to just say to you, parenting or influencing kids is not just about managing a child's behavior. That's important, but it's not only that. It's not even just providing material goods or enriching activities. That's important, but it's not just that. It's not even only providing food or and clothing and shelter. As important as it is, it's more than that. It's actually not just trying to do what we can to help our kids be better than other kids. Sometimes it's actually, parents, some of you are like really tired. It's actually just not surviving only. There's more, there can be more. Even though some days it's like, all I can do is survive, right? And most of us as parents, if we're not there now, we've been there. And you know what I'm talking about. I remember leaving the hospital with our first child. Goes back a while because she's now in her early 30s. I don't know how that happened, but I can still remember this. And so Jan and I, you know, we've been there and we did that and we were ready to be discharged from the hospital. And all I remember, I remember this as if it was yesterday. I had Rachel in my arms and they were going to let us go. And we were now going to go home for the first time as a family of three. And I'm a new father. And all I was thinking is, whoa, the profound significance now of this new life and how we would parent this precious girl. And I remember as we were walking out, I looked over at the charge nurse and said, is there an owner's manual or something? You know, do you have any instructions that you'd send with us? And what I was saying was basically like, we're not, the first time we've done this. Like, I've read about it. I've had parents, but like I was, how do we do this? And because it's so important, isn't it? We know that. What is your vision for parenting and or influencing the development of children? This is very close to God's heart. Remember when Jesus, you know, the children wanted to approach him and some of his friends and followers sort of tried to keep the children away. And Jesus was very much about, no, let the children come to me. Children are very close to the heart of God. It's very important, this subject today. Our second problem is we not only tend to have a lack of vision, most of us, don't know where we're going or why, but we tend to have a lot of assumptions. Have you noticed that? In fact, after this morning, we were talking about this thing of having assumptions with some people. Like, what are some of them? I tend to assume, and so I'm going to, when I was parenting full on with young children in our home, and I'm going to assume that some of you do with your children or children around you, we tend to assume that kids are just going to naturally grow up well, or that they kind of have what they need or know what they need to know. Poor way to think, right? Because like none of us did. Were you born with the capacity, the ability, like you didn't naturally know all you needed to know or have all you needed to have, right? Like I was thinking an example in my life. I still remember this as a young boy. I think I was kindergarten. And one of the things my parents were teaching me along the way was this thing about money. You know, like, you know, it's good for this and good for that, and here's what it is and how to steward money. And one thing I remember is somebody gave me, I think it was my grandpa, gave me some nice new coins. They were a prize in my life. And so I had this idea, what if, you know, I tended to lose a lot of things when I was a little boy. So I thought, what if these coins, I really, you know, they were like a prize for me. And so what if I took them to the bank, Dad, and deposited them in the bank? They'll keep it safe, you know, and then I can go back and get them whenever I wanted. Well, guess what I learned? My dad says, well, that's a great idea, but like, here's how it works at a bank. You know, like if you put these particular coins in as a deposit, you go back, they won't necessarily just give you those coins back. I didn't know that. I mean, and on and on and on, because there's a lot of times that we learn things for the first time, right? There's a pastor, a good pastor from Pennsylvania, his name's Ted Tripp. And I want to mention his name and also mention one of the better parenting books in my view. Written practical, biblical, helpful, is called Shepherding Your Child's Heart. If you want to think more, read more about parenting, that's a pretty good resource. Pastor Ted Tripp, he told this story about one of his grandsons. This is another thing about we tend to make assumptions. I love this story. So one of his grandsons was going to go off to camp for the first time. Can you picture, have you had kids, or do you remember going off to camp for the first time? It's like, you know, there's some tension, don't know what to expect. You know, so maybe a parent or somebody came around you and said, you know, here's what it's going to be like and pay attention. Well, so with Ted's grandson, you know, the mom said, now, son, when you go, here's some of what's going to happen and so on. But now, here's something I'd really like you to remember, because he wasn't all that good at this, I guess, is every day put on like a new clean pair of underwear. Oh, okay, Mom. And some of you are already thinking about what happened. So after a week of camp, his boy came back and he was sort of like puffy around. He put on a new clean pair of underwear every day over all the other pairs, right? Well, that wasn't exactly, you know, what. So that and other situations remind us, like, our kids are learning many things for the first time. A good assumption is, we're always learning together, right? Well, so are our kids. They don't know or don't have what they need as we go along. Many different examples we could think about. Possibly the biggest mistake parents made, I'm going to quote this from a book called Parenting 2.0. A woman named Tricia Ferrara in Philadelphia made this simple statement in her book. Maybe a big mistake we parents make is going into situations without a strategy. And I'd go, well, yeah, that has to do with visions. You know, do we have a vision? Or what assumptions do we have? So do you know that the Word of God talks about this with us? Thankfully, in all of this stuff that we aren't sure of, or we've had pain with, or we're confused, we can go back to God's Word. That's why we do this Sunday morning. What does the Word of God teach us about things, even about parenting, right? So ready? Here we go. Here's a main idea from this text, and then we'll go right back and walk through Deuteronomy 6. Parenting is training. So that's a key verb. There's this training component, equipping component. It's about training up children, loving and training children to become what? Who God has made them to be. Even more, not just who we want them to be. A lot of us as parents get this mixed up. When we think of our children, is it at the centerpiece of our thought, of our prayer, of our hope, our plan, of our strategy? God, may I be part of this child becoming fully who God has made them to be. Is that how you think? It's part of what this part of the Bible will teach us. It's reflected in one of the Proverbs in the Bible, Proverbs 22:6. Some of you know this verse. It says, train up a child like along the path they should walk, according to the way they should go. It means according to their uniqueness. And when they're older, then they will not depart from it. That's wisdom about parenting. And when I read that, I say, we become a student. We become a student of each child, God willing, that we have the opportunity to parent or to influence, because each year is unique. And how has God made this child to grow up? So that's where we're going in Deuteronomy 6. How to impress your children, we might say, or teach our children well. That idea of impress is in verse 7. In the Bibles that we have in the pews, it said, recite God's commandments over and over to them. The idea, again, is to repeat or to like impress on them. We're going to impress things on children, even into their hearts. How do we go about this? If you were to think about what has shaped you, think about that for a minute. Your parents have shaped who you are. That's part of what has shaped you, right? And some of you go, like, you don't get it. I mean, some of you in here were possibly abandoned by your parents. Some have been orphaned. There's been pain and difficulty. That's true on some level with all of us. And then some of you say, well, actually, the weight of things is I've been loved and cherished and delighted in and guided up and trained into a good way of life. And boy, this is so important, isn't it? So may we move toward more of that last part, even if we have had deficits in our personal life. What ways do you now impact and influence children? Three things I'm going to suggest for a vision for parenting that comes out of this text. Verse 2, did you catch that? And do you think this way? Is this what you see when you think of your children and your parenting and where you're going? Have a vision, verse 2 says, for at least 3 generations. Say, where do you get that? Verse 2 says, if you remember when we read it, so that you, it doesn't stop there. This isn't only about you. I hate to break the news. It's about you. It's also about and your children and even your children's children. Do you know that what we do as parents live on? Have you noticed that? If we went around the room again, and I could tell stories, I won't take the time today. My grandfathers and grandmothers are a big part of who I am today. That's true for you too. And so as we parent, it's not only about now, or you, or even your child. It's about, this lives on into generations. Tremendous thing to steward then, and for us to live into and love well, right? Because it affects, it will impact even maybe our children's children if Jesus tarries. I think you know that. So that's part of a vision. We could talk more about that, but I want to go on because the third point I want to stay with longer, second and third part. The other thing we can have a vision for is training up our children into who God is and what He is like. That's verse 4. So look at that with me in your Bibles again. It says, hear, O Israel, God's people. Hear doesn't mean just like, oh, okay, I heard about that. I've heard about that. We don't hear and just forget. We hear and engage and live. What? Well, we hear, first of all, that the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Now, if you think back to who this was originally written to, the people were going into the land that was promised to them, the nation of Israel, into a new land. We read about that. There was a covenant God had with His people and a promise for good things. If they would follow Him, they would experience certain blessings. But fundamental, they were going into a land that had many gods. And first off, God says to them, I'm the Lord your God. I'm God alone. And there's one God. Do we not have a land of many gods today too? There are many gods that we could run to as our ultimate source of satisfaction, security, affection. I don't know what yours is, but we live in a land of many gods. By the way, children, the Bible never says that children should be our first affection. We can potentially have children become godlike and that's our primary focus, our primary, nothing, including our children, is to replace God in our affections or our worship. or our devotion. God first, then we can do well at other things like parenting. So a vision for God is at least generational, and secondly, it's for who God is and what he's like. You might say, what do you mean? Well, how do we provide our children with a distinctly biblical worldview? If that's a new term to you, we look at ourselves and the world through certain lenses, don't we? How you understand yourself, how you understand people, how you understand the world, we either look at it through distorted lenses or helpful biblical lenses. Is helping our children understand more and more about who God is and what he's like in the midst of different circumstances. Do our children understand their dignity? Now we might say, oh, you know, you're the best, good job, those kind of things, but do our children understand from us and from the scripture why they really have dignity and value? Bible says it's because God made them. God created them in his image. And so they will learn that, hopefully, and we model that in how we parent. One of the things that we considered as parents in our home, Jan and I, is like, well, how is it that we help our children see God, understand him and what he's like? We thought, the Bible talks a lot about that. How can we make it engaging and fun for our kids at different ages? Do you ever wonder that? Like, one option certainly is to sit down and read parts of the scripture. But we really, our girls love to kind of do fun games and things. So, like, I want to involve you. Is it okay if I involve you in something right now? Because this is the kind of thing we do with our kids. So I'm going to invite you into this. It's just one example, all right? So I thought, well, you know what? The Bible says God is the Alpha and the Omega. Have you ever read that? So what is, you know, anybody here know what the Alpha and the Omega is when the Bible says that? Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. What does that mean? Doesn't mean God's a whole bunch of letters. What it does mean is he's the beginning and he's the end and he's everything in between in fullness. And I thought, whoa. So if we think about who God is, how could we engage our children? We're learning the alphabet, their ABCs. So, but how, as they learn the alphabet, how can we help them learn about who God is too? So here's what we did. We said, okay, now join me in this, okay? Now think about who God is, his traits, his attributes. Anybody know of any attribute of God that begins with A? Call it out. A, what is it?
Almighty.
Almighty, good. What else? All-knowing, good. B, let's go. We're going to go right through it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Help me out. He's beautiful. He's benevolent. Okay, C, what characteristics of God? Caring, compassionate.
Creative.
D.
Deity.
He's deity, yeah. E,
everlasting.
He's everlasting, yeah. F,
faithful.
He's faithful. G,
good.
What?
Good.
He's good.
Great.
Yeah, he's great, yeah. H, see, this is kind of fun, is it not, huh? Yeah, H, what's characteristic of God? Huh? Holy, yes. I,
infinite.
He's infinite. J,
jealous.
He is in a, yeah, he's got a heart for us, protective and jealous. And he's just. K.
King.
He's the king. L.
Loving.
He's loving and long-suffering. And M. Like my kids say, come on, Dad, do you know the alphabet? L. M. Huh? Yeah, he's mighty, magnificent, merciful. N. Noble. Yes, what else? Yes. Oh. Omnipotent, meaning all powerful. Omniscient, all present. We sang about that today. P. He's powerful. Yeah. Q. He's often quick. He's sometimes quiet. He's what else? Yeah. Q. R. He's righteous, and he's a redeemer. Key theme of the whole Bible. S. He's the Savior. Yes. S T Q R S
T.
Good. I need some help. T. He's trustworthy. Yes. Yeah. Good. U. Yes. V. Vision. Victorious. Yeah. S T U V W. He's wonderful. He's what?
Wise.
He's wise. And he's also like a mighty warrior force. Yeah, okay. W. X.
Exceptional.
Good. Yeah, good one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can have a little fun with this too, right? X. Y. Yeah. Yes, Yahweh, which is like a, yeah, good. X, Y. And Z. He's like a zealous God. Yeah. So see, that's one little example of, we can take what the Bible teaches, and if our kids are learning the alphabet, say, well, what are, and if we had time with things like that, which we won't take now, but it's kind of like, we just scratched the surface on the greatness of our God that we have sung about today, right? Those are some of the beauty and reality of who God is. How is it creatively and in a fun way we have a vision for helping our children understand God and what He is like? It's a great, you know, and we can have fun with it, but it's meaningful. So we keep learning into those truths. The last thing I want to talk about today is having a vision, not only that this isn't just about now and me and one child, it's a vision that's generational. And then the second part is, you know, like, how big is it if our children understand who God is, what He's like, in the midst of all these difficult circumstances that are part of it? Is that not huge? It's huge. Anyway, so, well, then this text goes on to talk about an avenue, a way that we walk with God and our children as we do it. And I love Ted Tripp's word on this, so I'm borrowing his term because it captures it beautifully. He calls it formative instruction. So let's unpack what that means. It's like verses 6 through 9. Did you hear that before? It says, love the Lord your God and so on with all your heart, mind, and soul, and keep these words I'm commanding you. Recite, repeat, impress them to your children, and talk about them where and how. When you're at home, when you're away, that's like most of the time, right? It's like I say, if I'm not here, I'm somewhere else. You know, it's true. Yeah, so it's like, as we go is the idea, at home and away and on the way. Back in the day, they would often walk to places where their children. Where is it today? It's often in our cars. You know, it's when we rise up, when we're going to bed. Now, let me talk about that a little bit. The time you have with kids carpool, like sometimes in your cars you'll have a child or two alone, critical conversations, how their day has been, how they can see who God is in the midst of their joys and griefs of their day. You know what I'm talking about, you know? When they rise up, most of us as kids, what, we're kind of, but as we go, when, for our girls, when they went to bed was a key time. And it's a key time that they would rest well, but they reflect on who God is in some way. So my daughters, even now later in life, said, Dad, do you remember when we used to go to bed, what you would say and sing? And I'm not all that great of a vocalist, so I'm not, but I did this like for years when our girls were young. And this was embedded in their little minds and hearts, and it went this way, I just made it up, I think. I said, you know, good night, sleep tight, Jesus and the angels watching over you tonight. Sleep well, check on you later, see you in the morning. Now, it's just interesting to me that they still remember that. One of our daughters has a little tattoo, and on that it's the angels watching over. I mean, we don't know how these little things impact the hearts of our children, right? But it's as we go. Formative instruction. Think about this with me. That means there are planned formal times of instruction. We have park kids for that. We have middle school and high school things that happen for this, and it's a relational good time, but it's a formal time that our kids, you know what our kids are studying this morning in Park Kids? The Ten Commandments. How cool is that? The same thing we're talking, Deuteronomy 5, and we're here in Deuteronomy 6. So talk with kids. If you have kids in Park Kids, like, you know what, they're learning this today. These same things that are talked about is remember them, hear them, like live them, abide by them, obey them. There's times of formal instruction, but this is also saying there are times of informal, relational, those walk, when you get up, when you go to bed, when you're driving the car, key times. So here's the thing, parents, if you're riding in your cars with kids, like, I'm not against iPhones and pads and so on, but like, if you're plugged in and your kid's plugged in all the time, how are we gonna, if it's too much, we're gonna miss those conversation times. Limited. I'm going to give you an example of that in just a moment about how we limit it, and our daughters still talk about this. Formative instruction is transformation oriented. We wanted the minds and hearts of our kids to be changed. It's not just information oriented. Have you thought about that? Like, in our ministries, it isn't just that we gain more knowledge, it's that our lives are changed. That's what God wants for us and our children. Next week, we're going to mention some things about corrective discipline. The Bible talks about that, but if some of you say, I thought that's what parenting was about. We correct bad behavior so our kids get better. Well, that's a part of it. But if you have a child or you're influencing a child and you're working on corrective discipline and it just isn't getting traction, you know what I'm talking about? Consider if there's not an adequate context of this formative instruction. If you watch, if there's a love first for God, think you. If you're loving God first, so you've experienced being loved, and if you're in relationship of love with your children, and you're formally and informally helping your children with these things, then corrective discipline tends to connect. Think about that. It's very important. Formative instruction. You may say, what does that look like? Let me give you one example, and I have my daughter's permission to say this because it could kind of reflect negatively on her, but it doesn't if you listen carefully. So one of our daughters in her preteen years, we decided we'd go ahead and let her have get her an iPhone. I mean, her friends had it and all that, and it's always a debate, you know, what age is good and so on. But, you know, she was getting close to being able to handle it, manage it. We wanted her to stay good with friends and all that kind of thing, you know? So, we had a limited data plan back then, so you know where I'm going probably, right? And so we were clear with her about how much and when and what the limits were on her texting and phone use time. And it was actually quite a bit every month that, you know, but there was a max, and we were able to monitor it, and guess what happened? One time, she went way over. And we'd talked real clearly up to then about what the limit was and what the consequences would be, because we wanted her to just learn. And so, well, now what do we do now that the line had been crossed? Interestingly, this daughter now works for Apple. She tells parents this story, what she learned. So are you following this? So we had a decision to make. We could just cover the bill and say, don't do it again. Or we could say, oh man, I can't believe it. You know, this is like messing our life and our budget, you know, or stop it. There's something wrong with you. Well, what's our strategy, right? Well, we'd already talked about it with her, and there was one day we figured out kind of her part of the data usage and the dollars that was on her. And so we helped her figure the number, and then my wife Jan went with her to the bank And she withdrew that money from the bank account, and Jan and our daughter marched into the Verizon store, and we paid off that bill with the money. Now, why was that so important to our daughter? Thankfully, the Verizon young man that was taking the money, I wasn't there, but my daughter still tells the story. The Verizon guy said, "This is really good." Lindsay wasn't feeling like it was really good. She just lost part of her savings account, right? And he said, "This is really good, because you know what happens most of the time with boys and girls, young women and men your age? Most of the time, parents come in with them, they're all mad at each other, and parents are paying the bill. You are taking responsibility for choices you made." She will never forget that. And she tells parents that to this day, if it comes up at the Apple store about, you know, there are opportunities to learn how to do things and to teach our children well. Making sense? Formative instruction is as we go in the dailiness of life. We're here as Park Kids to partner with you. That's largely formal instruction. You have kids in other environments, but what we do those informal times is critical. Good enough? Do you love children enough to want them to grow into who all God has made them to be, their character, their values? It's not just shaping bad behavior into good behavior. Let's pick on one more example. I couldn't help but notice yesterday a news clip. I was working out over at the local WOW, and I watched this on the news. Now, almost all of you have seen the news tragically this week about Las Vegas. And with the tragic shooting and the difficulty, there are so many people right now that are saying, how can it happen? But those who were directly affected, today's a very painful day. Our president, as some of you saw in the news, visited Las Vegas to see victims and responders. And he said this yesterday. Our president said something like, "It is hard to know what to say to our children about this kind of evil." Did you see that? And I thought, ooh, there it is again. What about our children? What is formative instruction? Now, give me this. Kids are at different ages, different capacities to learn and integrate. These and other things are sources of anxiety for us and for our children, right? So it matters. Right, stay with me. So what do you do? What do we do with our children? Could I pitch this to you? Two parts, at least. One is, let's acknowledge this is like deeply sad and tragic and troubling. And when we're confused and troubled, one of the things we can always do is pray. Do you do that and help your kids know that? We can pray for those. We're not all the president that goes as the comforter in chief. But we, wherever we are, whoever we are, we can pray. Pray that the people of God in Las Vegas would rise up to be sources of comfort and hope in the midst of grief. Pray for those directly affected. Pray that people would see who God is in the midst of this craziness. People say, "Where's God?" at times like that. God is right there, and he's even more grieved than we are. Help your kids know that. But he's still good. The other thing we can do is that what our police and officials are saying, well, why would these things happen? Let's be straight up. We don't know. Apparently, this particular murderer, it's hard to know what the motive was. That's what's in the press, right? Well, why did he do it? What's his motive? So your kids may say, well, like mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, like, why do people do these kinds of things? So we can say, we don't know fully. We can't mind read why he did what he did. But you know, there's something we could learn. Well, what's that, mom, dad? Well, we can learn kind of what's the root often of murder. You know, like God's word talks about this. Where would you go? Well, I might go to Genesis chapter 4 that records the very first murder. If our kids are old enough to pray and learn something else, we could say, well, I don't know what was in the mind or heart of this man. But we can take a good guess, because in the Bible, the very first murder, and then is talked about in the Ten Commandments, and Jesus talked about this, what's behind, you know, hostility and murder? Remember when Cain killed his brother? Genesis chapter 4, the first family, there was murder. And if you go back there and look, this dude named Cain got really angry. In fact, God said, why are you so angry? In the next paragraph, he kills his brother. Well, odds are this fellow had a lot of anger. And we don't know why. But so maybe that's a little bit of our understanding. But guess what? Let's bring it home. How is it that, what is anger? We can work with our kids on this. How important is it that we understand anger and how we handle anger well? Because you know what? Any one of us can get so messed up that we can hurt others. Any one of us could do that. It's sad, isn't it? See what I mean? So how is it that we enter in two things, or we can for sure pray, teach your children to pray, and know who God is in the midst of any circumstance. But there are things that we can help them learn along the way. So back to this, and in closing, and maybe our worship band could come back up now. And if you're thinking along, you'd say, well, this context is like the Ten Commandments, and know them and live by them. And you might say, well, that would sure be good if we all did that. Have you tried just doing this on your own? Read those Ten Commandments. What God's people have found out over the ages, including you and including your children, is the Ten Commandments would be a great way to be living. But guess what? On our own, none of us get there. Have you noticed that? So the law is do. And because none of us can get there on our own, and we fall short, and there's a debt we could never pay ourselves, that's why the gospel says God has, through Christ, has done. We no longer have to do in order to be good enough. We go back again to Christ and the cross, because what we can't do, what we can't pay, he's done for us. So this is our resource as parents. We can't fully do this well on our own either, can we? Let's again run back to Jesus, run back to the cross. If you're here today as a parent and you're saying, like, I've failed, what do I do with that? Come back to Christ. There's forgiveness. If you're saying, I'm still kind of confused, what's my best resource? Come back to God through Jesus. That's your best resource. That's why we're going to now sing and celebrate the Lord's table together, because this isn't about doing to be good enough. This is about what has been done in Jesus for us, so that we can do in a way that honors God and our children. So let's do that together. Father, thank you for the guidance you give us in your word about parenting and other parts of life. We, first of all, now our affections go back to you, because we can't do this outside of you first loving us through Christ. We sing and we celebrate that now together. Amen.